All right, welcome to another edition of the Home Studio Craft Podcast. I'm Scott.
I am Tippins.
What's going on, Tippins?
Nothing much.
How was your couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, it was good. It's a little crazy. I told you an iguana ran in my house yesterday.
That's not...
Yeah.
So what happened?
My girlfriend let my dog out, and she started barking, and she said, next thing you know, my dog is chasing an iguana. You know how they run, like, chest up into my house. And
how big was it?
It was like a baby, so it wasn't that big. But it also, like, I couldn't find him because she came and got me, like, after it happened. And then I was like, I called you to be like, all right, this might take a sec.
Yeah.
And then I went and got him. And, yeah, it was, he was in a cabinet. One of my cabinets were, like, cracked open.
In your kitchen?
Yeah. And yeah, that's where he was for like 15, 20 minutes. We couldn't find him.
Was your dog going nuts?
Yeah. We had to get her away. She'll...
Only in South Florida, right?
Yeah.
South Florida issues.
Yeah. That's my dog's favorite hobby is chasing.
Oh, yeah. They love it, man. My dogs are like out on the patio, especially like after they eat. And then they're like literally patrolling around on the patio looking for lizards, man. All my furniture on my patio is like rearranged.
It's probably great stimulation for them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get the thrill of the hunt.
Right. Yeah, they're having a good time, so.
But I recorded some vocals yesterday and have been recording vocals in general, which I thought would be a great topic for today
because let's talk about
struggle with recording vocals a lot. It's partially due to my voice, partially due to not knowing the best practices and you know, simple things to do to make things sound better. So yeah, let's go
down the checklist, right?
Okay, yeah, first thing.
The first thing that I guess prior to recording vocals, the first thing is, you know, choosing the right microphone. So, you know, condenser microphone is going to be the best for the human voice because it's more sensitive. And, you know, there's many different types of condenser mics out there at all different price points. But, you know, if you're just starting out and looking for a decent vocal mic, actually these mics here, these are Warm Audio WA-14s, nice mics. You can change the polarity patterns. It's got a pad on there. So if you want to reduce the input level on that, you can do that as well. Also like a Rode NT1A, also very affordable, you know, microphone. So that's the first thing that I'd recommend. And then after that is, okay, well, where are you going to record, right? And if you don't have a home studio, you know, a bedroom or a closet in a bedroom is a good location. And one thing you want to consider too, like when you're recording, I don't know, with you guys, well, like when you're doing your vocal tracks, are you putting your mic in a stand?
Yeah, it's set up. Yes, it's on a stand, yeah.
Okay. And are you standing up when you sing?
Yes.
You are.
Unless it's like I'm feeling really lazy and it's like I need one line or something. But
right.
Yeah, like 99% of the time I'm standing.
Standing up on a stand.
I feel like I can get the feel and
emotion
out better.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And it's easier to breathe too because you don't have your diaphragm's able to move better if you're standing up.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought about that. But yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So those are the first couple of things. Do you use a boom on your mic stand or you just have it?
I have
a little mic clip.
Yeah, it's on a boom.
It is.
Yeah, it's on a boom attached to my desk and then has like two pop. I have the mic pop filter and then I have another one I'll use sometimes.
And that's a good point you bring up there, just to have a pop filter on your mic before you record so it keeps those plosives from overloading your microphone and just going to give you a better quality of recording. It also helps to keep you further away from the mic. So you want to be about, you know, 8 inches away from the actual microphone itself. Mm. So just to give a better quality recording. Another thing to consider too is, a lot of people don't talk about this, but when, like, before you record a vocal track, if you're a professional singer, you're going to know this already, but if you're just starting out singing, or singing's really not your primary instrument, if your primary instrument, say guitar or piano or drums or whatever, you want to warm up your voice. You know, do some vocal exercises, say for like 30 minutes or so, or longer if you feel the need. You can find lots of different warm-up exercises on YouTube. You know, that's a really big thing. Make sure you're well rested. And for me, I like to be, you know, in a good mood. If I'm not feeling good, like if I'm not in the right headspace, if I'm feeling kind of negative, and I don't know how it is for you. I mean, I think some people can actually feed off that negativity if that's what they're trying to get across in that vocal take. But for me, I like to be rested, feeling, you know, upbeat, and I feel that that's going to give me the best possible recording.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. As somebody who doesn't necessarily love their voice all the time, yeah. The mindset thing could be huge. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And it's always weird too, like if you're new to singing, like when you first hear your voice played back, it's like, that doesn't sound like me. you may like it. I mean, my first reaction was like, oh yeah, I was just real overly self-conscious.
What do they say? Like, our voices sound deeper to us because, or our voices are higher than we perceive them because we feel like the vibration or something. I heard someone explain it.
Yeah. Like I don't know.
Time. Yeah.
I don't know. It's, well, first of all, right, you have the fact that you're, like, if you're just speaking, you're just hearing it through your ears, right? It's not going into a microphone, into processing, and coming out through some speakers that are all going to affect your voice, right? Depending on, you know, the quality of the microphone, or even doesn't really, regardless of quality, I think every mic is going to impart its own particular sonic signature, if you will, on whatever the input is, in this case, your voice. So I think that's part of it. So let me ask you a question, Steele. When you were just recording vocals, when you had everything set up, going through your interface into your DAW, did you record with any effects or without effects?
So I have noticed, like, sometimes I want it to sound like it will, or close to it would, like the song. I'll do like, a compressor usually, of some sort, and maybe like, I don't know, delay or something, just to get that, like.
But you're actually recording those effects, you're printing them.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Is there any particular reason why you like to do it that way?
I don't know, I feel like it makes it sound like a little more polished right after I'm recording, so I know if it's just like the audio quality versus my actual voice sounding bad,
right?
If that makes sense. But right. I know that's probably not the best mentality to have, like the take should just sound good. But I want to like my mentality is that I want to eliminate like it being just because it sounds bare, that being the issue.
Oh, so are you actually talking about like once it's recorded or during the process of you recording it?
Yeah, so like if I'm going to record like in Ableton, I'll just already have like a compressor set, kind of like I have like our presets and stuff set for kind of my voice. So I'll just flip those on. And
yep.
So like after I'm recording, when I'm listening back, I'm kind of hearing it.
Right.
Obviously no like pitch correction real time or anything like that,
right?
But just like a compressor or like a delay or something, or
right,
I don't know, something to make it just sound a little more cohesive with the song, I guess. So what should people do?
Like, well, I mean, I think that approach is definitely one approach you can take. The only downside to that is that you can't undo it. Right, so you've got your compression printed on that track, and you've also got the delay or the reverb or whatever you applied.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I guess it's not printed. If it's in the effects, I'm just flipping it on and off.
So you're talking about it's on the sense.
Yes, it's on the sense.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, yeah, you have more flexibility with that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we're in agreement there.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, for me, when I'm recording, I don't, same thing. Like, I'll just have, like, my, you know, my strip of, like, vocal effects on one of the sends, and I'll just send that out there. Usually, though, it's just a little bit of compression, some reverb for the most part. So, the kind of, like, you've got all the other tracks playing in the background, so that kind of sits in that mix, you know, well.
Yeah.
So, all right. And then the other thing is that, you know, once you've kind of warmed up your voice and you're doing, you know, your takes, your vocal tracks, your recording, I recommend that you just keep recording as many takes as you can while you're kind of like in that groove, because you've gone through, you've got everything set up, you know, you're feeling good, your voice is warmed up, and then I would just recommend just keep recording takes, like, you know, record it into your DAW, you know, save it, maybe just add another audio track in and go back in the booth and then just do another take. And there's different approaches you can take. That's what I like to do. And just, I usually get like 3 or 4, you know, takes of the main vocal line. But there's different ways to approach that too. Like, so for example, when you were recording your last song, did you sing it all the way through? Like, did you sing like just, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus out? How did you approach it?
Yeah, so I kept messing up the beginning of the chorus. So I was trying to just record everything through, but I kept messing up the beginning of the chorus.
Right.
So I wound up keeping my first verse takes, and then I just, yeah, pieced it together. So I would record the verse. Well, I had one take where I was able to do it all the way through without messing up. But as a whole, it was, yeah, split up. So I was recording verse, chorus, second verse, chorus. And yeah, sometimes I'll even, obviously wouldn't recommend this or anything, but sometimes I'll even, if I like don't have a line or two, sometimes I'm like on the spot trying different things, like
vocal, like lyrically.
Yeah. Like I'll click record and try like one line, one take, another line, another take. And that's probably not the best for efficiency. You want to have it all written out, but sometimes I'll record and when I hear the line, I'm like, I don't like it when
work.
It's actually being said. So I'll...
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't think there's any, like, one particular way that's right. I think it's whatever, you know, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
I've done the same thing. Like, I had this one lyric. It was like, I was singing walking down this whatever street. And I was like, and then I said, all right, let me try running. And then running ended up, you know, working out better. So it was the kind of same thing.
Yeah
just it's,
and that's how a lot of our songs wind up, where like I'll love almost everything, but there'll be like one line that isn't sitting right with me. But how do you do like backing vocals normally when you're recording those? Like, are you going into it, are you using some of the other takes, or are you recording specific backing vocal takes maybe in another key and stuff, depending on the song obviously? But
well, so for a chorus, for example, so what I normally do in the chorus is, you know, I'll have the main lead vocal line, and to kind of thicken up that vocal take, I'll basically take that track in Ableton, I'll duplicate it, then I'll add the utility plugin onto that duplicate track, and then invert the phase of that track. And then what I'll do, instead of applying like the same, you know, vocal strip to it, I will take and maybe trim off the high end of the EQ, maybe boost a little bit of the, you know, mid-range a little bit, add some saturation you know, a decent amount of saturation. So if you listen to that track on it by itself, it would sound really awful, right? But it's really, the idea is to be able to bolster that lead vocal track. And then, so what I'll do is then I'll blend those two tracks together. You know, if the lead vocal track is around, say, hovering around like, you know, negative 12 dBs on the meters, I'll take that other one and just kind of drop it down to like negative 24. So it's, you know, it's giving it like that boost and that heft, but it's really not that noticeable. It's noticeable if you take it away.
Yeah.
But it just kind of sits below the surface. So so I do that to thicken it up. And then, you know, I'll take some of the, like I said, I'll normally do like, you know, three or four takes when I'm recording that. So I'll take a couple of those other takes and, you know, after I've gone through and, you know, edited them out as far as like just lining them up with the main lead vocal track,
yeah.
Then I'll just pan those left and right. So when you come into the chorus, it's like, you know, a nice big stereo spread and, you know, that lead vocal kind of jumps out a little bit from where like the verse vocal would be. And so how about for you? So like, are there some normal like things that you do, or are there normal effects that you use in your vocal effects chain?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you next, is what your kind of effects chain look like for just like a lead vocal. But yeah, we do the left right panning on like,
sure,
on the chorus for backing vocals, and then also like if there's like a line or something that's like where it'd sound cool to have like harmony or backing vocals or whatever,
right,
we'll do that. But yeah, I like some songs I have like just a single take of my voice, mm-hmm, and then some songs I'll double track, just because I don't know, with my voice sometimes I think it, like I'll listen to a take and then I'll double track it and it sounds cool when one's super low,
right,
and one's more loud. But yeah, I do both, like, right, single and double track,
right.
So yeah, that's pretty similar to what I do, but
yeah. So you'll actually do the re-record a separate double track,
yeah,
instead of just duplicating it. Yeah,
yeah, I'll do that a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that phase, that inverting the phase trick you mentioned, I've never done that before. That sounds like a way to keep it maybe a little cleaner, maybe, if it's not as different.
Yeah, I mean, it's, to me, it's more of a, I mean, it's not going to be as pronounced as actually doing a double track,
yeah,
right? Because you're gonna hear that.
Well,
and that has its own sound.
Exactly. Sometimes I don't necessarily want that sound.
Right.
It just, like you were saying, this kind of does, thickens it up.
Yeah.
And makes it, gives it some support.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
yeah, this
I like
cool
both
to try.
Yeah, I don't often double track. I guess it really just depends on the song.
Yeah,
for the most part, if you know the song calls for it.
Yeah,
and, you know, try it. Like the times I've tried it, didn't really like it so much. But also, you can kind of get that cool double track effect, kind of having like that really quick slap back like delay. You know?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, once again, it depends on the song, if it fits in the context of the song. So as far as like effects on your vocal chain, like, do you have any specific effects that you like to use? Is there any particular order? Or
that's kind of what I was going to ask you, is like the best, because I've seen people, you know, say to add compression after EQ,
mm-hmm,
and then, you know, but then you see people using compressors at the very front, like almost always. So, yeah, I'm just trying to learn like best practices for like just a basic vocal chain. Cause I'll use delay, reverb stuff,
sure,
just kind of messing around with it, but I don't necessarily know the why,
right,
behind, you know, why I'm putting a compressor here or before or after the EQ or whatever,
right,
it is.
I mean, first, you know, I don't think that there's any one way to do it. And I think that, you know, if you have your, like, vocal chain templates, I think it's good to start out with a template to kind of like get the best, like to be able to get, pull something up quickly, right? Yeah. To give you like an instant, like good sound. But by the same token, you know, you don't want to be overly reliant on those templates, because it's you're going to stagnate, right? So I think you should always be trying something new. I mean, you're going to know the things that work for you based on your past recordings, but I think it's always good to try different combinations of things. So like you mentioned, like, you know, compression before EQ, compression after EQ. I think the way to figure that out for what works for you is just to mess around with it. Try the compressor first,
yeah,
before the EQ, try it after the EQ. You know, for me, you know, typically I'll have some type of like, you know, channel strip plugin. Well, first of all, I'll have some type of pitch correction on the track, right?
Use auto-tune.
Yeah, I use auto-tune, yeah. But, you know, whatever
you're... Yeah, we use Melodyne, it's free. But, yeah, I've wanted to mess around with auto-tune.
Well, in the new version of Ableton 12, they have I think it's in beta right now, but they're going to roll it out in version 12.1. They're going to have a pitch correction plugin, which would be pretty cool. Yeah, I saw a couple of videos on YouTube the other day about it, so looks cool.
I need it.
But it's so I'll do something like a, you know, like a channel strip plugin, you know, EQ obviously, compression, you know, maybe another EQ, some more compression, you know, a little bit of saturation in there, and I'll also use a plugin to kind of give the vocal track some air, you know, maybe like that 12k, 15k, you know, and above that sparkle.
What frequencies, I've heard this before, but I'm not sure exactly what it is. What frequencies does the human voice lie in mainly? Like, you know, if you're boosting, looking for like
2k to 5k, roughly in that range.
Okay.
You know, and you can kind of, like, when you're playing back your vocal take, right, for example, you know, it's really handy just to kind of, you know, just do, like, a little notch and just kind of drag that, you know, that little boost of, like, whatever, 3 decibels, 6 decibels, or whatever, you know, in that range and kind of see where your voice kind of, like, you know, pokes out in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, and you can also use like a spectrum analyzer to kind of see where your vocal, you know,
so having ranges. Having like multiple EQs in there, is that what, like, why are you doing that? Usually,
I don't always.
Yeah.
You know, depends on the EQs you're using. You know, some of them are going to be more limited than others, right? Especially if you're using some like the old analog plugins. So you may want to use something else to kind of augment your flexibility of like dialing in those different frequencies.
That makes sense.
That's all. Yeah. And yeah.
Just helps to shape that sound.
Yeah. It just helps you to shape it. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then like you mentioned reverb a little bit earlier, like use both, like use, you know, reverb, delay, like
Do
you like limit frequencies that come through on them, or
well, just depends? What I'll do like on both of those is I'll trim off, you know, some of the high end just so it doesn't really detract from like the air of the vocal track, so just to kind of, you know, have them recede a little bit in the mix. And speaking of reverb and delay, and also those I don't put directly on the vocal track itself, those are always on like effect sends, so I'll just send that out. But and we talked about this a little bit, but just a few months ago I ended up buying the Valhalla reverb and delay effects. Mm-hmm. I think it was like $100 for the both of them. I just love those plugins, man. They're so, like, their Valhalla reverb is incredible. I just love that thing.
Yeah, I have a free version of, I think it's Valhalla Supermassive, and I have the free version and I love it. And
it's fantastic. Like the reverb sounds are just incredible. Yeah, I love it. The delay too, really great.
Yeah, it has a lot of options to really delineate like what you want. Like a lot of control compared to some other ones.
So that's What other ones are, like, were you using, like, just the stock Ableton plugins?
Yeah, stock Ableton reverbs and stuff.
Well, you bought the, you subscribed to Slate.
Yeah.
Have you used theirs?
Yeah, that's what I'm using now.
Like, the Liquid Sonics?
Yeah, Liquid Sonics.
Yeah, there's some nice stuff in there, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, you know, applying the reverb and the delay and so forth, yeah, until you get the right blend with the mix is... it's awesome. I love working on that part. I also found it, but one of the most challenging parts in the mix is like getting the right reverb on the vocals. It's got to be just right. It's that Goldilocks piece of the mix.
Yeah.
So, and then the final part, like once we've got all the raw tracks recorded, and you know before we're working on the final mix, is to be able to take all those different vocal takes and then put them into a compilation track. So, you know, it's like pulling up a blank audio track, you know, calling that whatever the vocal comp track, and then going one by one, you know, kind of like phrase by phrase of each one of those vocal takes and listening to, you know, which one sounds best, right? Which one fits the best. And a lot of them, you know, you may not hear any difference between them, but some of them may be noticeably different. So you just, you know, kind of edit out the part you like the most and just copy and paste that into that comp track, you know, save all the original stuff, and then stitch that comp track together, go back and listen to it, and you should have a pretty decent vocal track by that time. Hopefully.
Right? That's what I was about to say. Hopefully. But okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But if you don't, you know, just go back and record some more.
Yeah. It's tough if you don't like your voice. I'm like that. But
well,
I think that's I kinda like knew a lot of that stuff, but like yeah, hearing some of those like little tricks you mentioned, like the phase inverting. So do you like, you mentioned like on the chorus, mm-hmm. you might do a little something different. Like what are some things people can do for a chorus to make it stand out and possibly?
You know, one of the typical tricks is to, you know, boost it by one decibel. So, you know, if your verses are at whatever on your master bus, let's say that your verses are at -4 decibels, right, or -5 decibels. So if it's at -5 decibels, then when you get to the chorus, you just bump the chorus, and you can just draw this in on your DAW, just bump it up 1 dB to -4. When it comes back out into the verse, drop it back down. So that gives very subtle, but noticeable difference. And then the other typical trick is to, you know, just kind of widen that like stereo field. And you can do it with some plugins on guitars or keyboards, vocals, and then so it's nice and big, right?
Yeah.
And then when you come back into the verse, you kind of bring that back down. So
do you ever do you know, distortion? Obviously just messing around with stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's different for every song, so you just want, you know, the chorus is the main focal point of the song in pop music. So you just want to, you know, whatever you need to do, whatever cool creative ideas you can come up with to make that pop.
So just play around with it.
Just play around with it. Yeah, absolutely. And have fun.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole point.
yeah, exactly.
So, all right, Tippins.
Yeah.
Good session, man.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully I'm sounding like Celine Dion now. So. But yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Speaking of Celine, did you see her performance at the Olympics?
No, I didn't. I saw that metal band. Did you see that?
I did see the metal band. That was incredible.
Yeah.
But, you know, do yourself a favor. Even if you're not a Celine Dion fan, you got to respect her talent, man. She is
What did she sing?
It was all in French. Mm. I thought it was a French national anthem, but it wasn't. I don't remember. But do yourself a favor, go check it out, man.
Okay.
Amazing, absolutely incredible. So
sweet.
All right. So we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Peace.